bring Ren LaVar, NHL insider from TVS Sports. And there's always a point to having Ren LaVar on the show. Speaking of not going to the Stanley Cup, the Montreal Canadiens. Sorry. You have a little report on TVS Sports where, now, is it Max Pacioretty thinks, wants, or expects to be traded?
Well, that's what I've been told by a few sources. And like I said on air, I don't expect Max Pacioretty to go public and to say, you know what, guys, I expect to be moved quickly. Mm-hmm. But that's what a lot of people around him are telling me right now, that he expects to be traded, soon. Soon is what? There's the deadline coming in 25 days or 26 days. So that's a possibility. But that being said, you know, for Marc Bergevin, he knows that he needs to get something really interesting in return. And that's the bottom line. And if Marc can get, you know, what he wants in a deal, so maybe Max will have to stay a little longer with the Montreal Canadiens. But if he's still with the team next season, I think there'll be a lot of people shocked, including Max Pacioretty, that's for sure.
What should the Habs expect in return for Pacioretty? Obviously, you know, they're going to be, you have to figure they're going to be in rebuild mode, despite the fact that they'd love to go somewhere with Carey Price. But this is the situation where they're at. What are their biggest needs when you look at long term? Because they're not going to look to fill a roster spot. They're going to look at an asset that they can, you know, control and grow for the next 5 or 6, 7, 8 years, I would think.
You know what? It's a great question. I do feel that they're looking for a player that can play right now. Mm. I don't expect them to go and get draft picks, because when you think about it, the team is going to acquire Max Pacioretty if it happens before the deadline. It's a team that's has got a strong possibility of going deep in the playoffs. So you really want that first pick of that team that's going to draft maybe 25 or 26? No, you don't want that first round pick. So I really do think that they're looking, as has been reported before, as a young centerman. But at the same time, let's be honest here, how many teams are trading young centermen that are playing in the top six? I had no clue. I don't think that it exists. That being said, and that, so there's a chance that he's looking for a left defenseman, left shot-ended, obviously. That's another possibility. But let's say, if you look at the big picture, and he gets a winger that's younger than Max Pacioretty, okay, and that he's producing too in the NHL, because it's easier to get or to find wingers in the NHL than centermen, obviously, young ones. So that's something that you still have to look at, because it will be easy for Marc Bergevin to say, hey, guys, we traded Max for a younger player that's producing the same kind of, he's got the same stats or better stats than Max Pacioretty. We do feel that we're better today because of that, because we're going to keep that player for a longer time. So there's no, I don't think that Mark is saying to himself, it needs to be 100% a young centerman. If it doesn't happen, I'm not going to trade him. I think he's got some options, okay? Because he knows that after that, his team is obviously not going to be a strong team for this between now and the end of the season. There's other players who are going to be traded before the deadline. And, you know, I was talking about that on my show yesterday. As of right now, the Montreal Canadiens, they have 10% chance, or I'll say 8.5% chance to pick first.
Wow.
And that's the reality, guys. I know it's kind of crazy. They have a 28.5% chance of picking in the first three. Wow. So this is the Montreal Canadiens today. And as bad as it sounds, that's the reality of that team. What happened to that team is, last Thursday, the game that they lost versus the Carolina Hurricanes, mm-hmm. was the end of the season. Mm-hmm. That's it. That, because if they were winning that game, they would have been way closer, or at least there'll still be hope that, you know, there was a chance that they're going to compete for a spot in the playoffs. So it didn't happen. They played so badly. And I think that everybody starting after that game just throwing the towel and say, okay, we're done. We're not going to rush. Shea Weber anymore. We're not going to rush any injured players. They're going to come when they're going to come. And our reality is we need to work hard, play well. But at the same time, we'd have no chance to make the playoffs right now, which is totally true.
Well, and if that happens, we can go one step further. Obviously, Pacioretty, a very attractive candidate. Maybe one of the most enigmatic players in the NHL is Alex Galchenyuk, who is still only 23 years old.
Yeah.
He's still quite a talent. He's minus 25 this year. He's been quite not good this year, but would seem to be such an obvious buy low candidate for a whole bunch of places. Now, he's not massively paid. He's making under five. His cap hit's less than $5 million. There's potential for him to grow, but they've made no secret about the fact that they're disenchanted with this guy. Could he go too?
Well, here's the problem. He's got no value. And, you know, talking to a lot of GMs around the league, there's not a lot of GM who are a big fan of Alex Galchenyuk. That's the reality again. You know, remember that not this September, but in September 16, he wasn't invited at the World Cup for the under-23.
Yeah.
That was a big, big eye-opener for a lot of people in the media. We were like, okay, how come they're not picking a guy who just scored 30 goals the season before? And the reason why, and I've been told by a lot of people, when your reputation is this one, Renault, he's a dog. The guy just scored 30 goals, and that's what that's the reality and the reputation of that player. It's really tough. So if there's a team who wants to get him, first of all, it's going to be costly again because he's young, great cap hit. And at the same time, let's be honest, it's going to be a big gamble.
Yep.
Because you don't know what you're going to get. And so can he be part of a big trade, like a bigger deal? Yes, but that means that there'll be a lot of people involved in that deal. So I don't expect him to be traded before the deadline, to be honest with you. Not at all. I don't think that's a reality. And at the same time, you know, they need to keep some players. They can't trade everybody just like that. I do feel like they're trying to rebuild for next year, but next year is going to be an important year for them. I don't think that the Montreal Canadiens are wishing that next year they're not going to make the playoffs and pick maybe first again. I don't think that's part of the plan. And I believe that the Montreal Canadiens fans, they're going to hate that plan if it's the plan.
You know, we talk a lot about Marc Bergevin. What do you think Claude Julien would like to see at the trade deadline? Where does he stand in Alexander Galchenyuk and Max Pacioretty? Because it seems to me, Ren, and you know, that it's always sort of, well, Marc Bergevin's got to do this, he's got to do that. And I know that he and the coach work together and all that stuff. Yep. But if I'm the Canadiens right now, I'm kind of asking myself, what does Claude want? Like, to me, he's got to be the dominant voice in the room, if it's me.
Yes, in a way. But there's one thing that I really love about Claude. He's never going to give up, okay? Mm-hmm. When I'm saying he's never going to give up, I'm not talking about the season here. He's never going to give up on a player. Never.
Okay.
And the only things that he wants is for that player to work hard. And if he thinks that player is not working hard enough, well, there'll be some tough love. So tough love did happen with a guy like Alex Galchenyuk this year, played on the fourth line for a while. Andrew Shaw, same thing before he got injured. So, you know, Claude is going to roll with the punches, I think. He wants players who have character. That's a big, big problem right now in the room. That needs to change again. For sure Claude's got expectations. I don't think that he signed with the Montreal Canadiens not to make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He wants to be known as a winner. But he's working hand in hand with Marc Bergevin, and they technically knows exactly what they need. Guys, it's you don't need to be a genius here. They need a centerman as soon as possible. And everybody knows that around the league. It's not a secret. So if you're looking at the UFA market, it's all right, but it's not great. The fact that Kyle Turris is not signed doesn't help, because obviously the Montreal Canadiens love a guy like Kyle Turris.
Right.
Now he's gone. So you need to be creative. You need to be patient. You can't rush anything. You can't be emotional about it. So, but if you're looking at the big picture, there's still a chance today that they'll have a good pick at the draft. And I really do think that's if they're picking in the top three, they need to be creative. They need to use that to maybe trade that pick at one point, because they need assets more than anything. They just don't need one player. They need a lot of players. So they will have to be really creative to make sure that, yes, maybe that draft, that player will be something that a lot of teams are looking for, but maybe not necessarily the Montreal Canadiens. They have issues. They need to win next year. It's costly to go at the Bell Center. And people are not going to be patient. I'm telling you, it's a different market than Toronto. Toronto, they have the Raptors, they have the Blue Jays, the Argonauts, Montreal, and the MLS, obviously. In Montreal, and I don't want to be rude by saying, that there's only the Montreal Canadiens. Yes, the Impact are there and the Alouettes, but it's not the same animal at all. It's totally different. People are, only talking about one thing, and it's the Montreal Canadiens. And soccer during the summer, same thing for football, the CFL. The level of interest is not the same. It's a totally different animal, like I said.
Hey, Ren, the Leafs are in New York to play the Rangers tonight. We had Joe Micheletti on, and we were asking him. Similar questions are kind of being asked in New York, right? Alain Vigneault this team needs, by his guess, needs to find 37 points to have a shot at the playoff spot, this year. What do you think the Rangers end up doing? Because they seem to me to also be a team that could go either way.
Yeah, and it's exactly that. There was some reports by a friend of mine, Larry Brooks, last week. That was a huge breaking news, saying that, they're going to be sellers. Mm-hmm. And if he's saying something like that, there's a good chance it's 100% true. What Larry is saying about this team was always accurate over the years. And you know what? I talked to a few people with the Rangers the next day in Tampa, and everybody was kind of, there's two different there's a battle inside the organization. Let's say they're 2 points behind. We're in a market like New York. You really think we're going to be sellers? Maybe 6 points behind. I see it. 2 points behind. I don't think so. It's risky. If you look at what people are saying a lot, GMs around the league, is you just need to get in the playoffs, and you never know what's going to happen. Look at Nashville last year. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So why? I understand Rick Nash is a UFA. I understand that there's players that maybe they want to get rid of, but it's a risk. And if you're making bad moves, it could be costly in the long run. The New York Rangers, they're fun to watch. It's great to go to the MSG. I understand that they want to get younger. I understand they want to get quicker. But is it realist? Can it be done like that before a trade deadline? I don't think so. They need to be really, really careful with what they wish for. And I wonder personally, I'm skeptical. I don't like really that situation. Yes, it's a borderline team, but who's not? Honestly, who's not? You look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, they're still a borderline team this year, but we all know they're better than that. So be careful, because if you're making trades, that you're going to regret in a year, it can cost, the future of that team for a long time. So no, I I'm with Larry Brooks. That's what the team wants, but is it feasible? That's the question.
Well, and at the same time, when you're kind of in that in-between phase, sometimes you just got to go for it, and especially if you're a team that's been snake bit over the last few years that have had good teams and you've fallen short. And two teams that I think of as maybe potential buyers, and you could tell me where they stand, the Capitals and the Blues. These are two teams that first of all, the Caps are leading their division, so they're in good shape. Blues are sitting tied for second, essentially. They've been a good team for quite a few years. Tarasenko, you know, franchise player. They have a chance here. Is that the kind of team that gets most aggressive at the deadline? One of these longtime underachievers that says, all right, let's try to actually win this cup this year.
Yeah, they have to think that way. They're buyers.
Yeah.
They're not going to be sellers. That's for sure. They know, you know, first of all, I don't expect the Blackhawks to make the playoffs. I don't know about you guys, but if the Blackhawks are not there, okay, you have to really look at the Predators and to say, oh, this is a really good team that we need. Maybe we're going to face during the playoffs, but you never know. So they're maybe a couple players away from being the team that they're supposed to. I think this is a team that needs to be recognized as a possible Stanley Cup winner this year. And I know there not a lot of people are talking about Alex Pietrangelo, but for me, and I know everybody's looking at Victor Hedman, and I understand that why they're doing that. You know, Victor is a great defenseman. They think a lot of people think that he should win the Norris, but nobody's talking about Alex Pietrangelo. I don't understand why. Because for me, he's the best defenseman in the league. Since Shattenkirk was traded, he's the third best D in the league points wise. He's going to have 60 plus points this year. Never did that in his career. And you have to look at the way he's playing, the captain that he is. I mean, and Mike Yeo behind the bench, who's I really do think is the next thing as when you look at coaches, young coaches in the league. I really think that Mike Yeo is the next big deal. So there's a lot of good things going with that team. They're under the radar, and if they're under the radar like that, I'm pretty sure that you know they're working hard to get better every day. So for them right now, they're looking at goaltending. They have question marks. I don't expect that they're gonna get a number one goaltender soon enough. I don't expect it's gonna happen, but they're going to get, I'm sure they're going to try to get better offensively. You never know. Can it be a player like Max Pacioretty? I don't know. But for sure, they're gonna try before now in the deadline to be a better team. And when you look at the Capitals, it's quite simple. They lost some good defensemen. And I really do think that they're looking for stay-at-home type of defensemen. I'm not saying it's easy to get, but it's easier to get than a defenseman that's moving the puck like a shot like it happened last year.
Gary Bettman will join Primetime Sports and Bob McCowan this afternoon. It is the 25th anniversary of his being named NHL commissioner. How do you view him as a commissioner, Ren?
You have to be honest here. I mean, he's an unbelievable commissioner. And what he did for the you know, the owners is just great. I remember a few years ago, Don Fehr was coming in as the NHL PA director, and we were like, oh, my God, that's got to be a big battle. Sadly for Don Fehr, he didn't have the tools. The players didn't give him the tools to go at war with Gary Bettman. So I personally feel, even if people are going to say the NFL's got the best CBA for versus the players because, you know, the contract are not guaranteed, I understand that, but I really do feel like one of the best CBA for owners in pro sports, if it's not in the NFL, it's got to be in the NHL. Sure.
Yeah, the escrow is it's an amazing concept. It's almost evil. It's almost an evil
not
concept.
Not almost. It is evil.
It is evil.
It is. Can you imagine in our business, ownership saying, hey, guys, sadly for us, you know, our revenues are not as high as it was supposed to, so, hey, you need to give me 16% of your salary. You'll go, what? My contract is saying that's the amount of money that I should get.
But
we changed things, and you need to give us back 16% of your salary. You'll be pretty upset about it. I'm telling you, I'll go and say there's no way I'm giving you that money back. But that's the CBA. That's the play. They need to work around that right now, and with that. So it's painful. I can't believe it. But you have to say that Gary Bettman was a genius. Honestly. And so you look at when he arrived in 93, where the league was to today. I know it's not perfect. Honestly, there's still some soft spots in the NHL, but who doesn't? Mm-hmm. Even in the NFL, there is some. So, no, I think he did an unbelievable job as a commissioner, and you have to respect what he did. And I don't know, for sure, in Quebec City,
yeah,
they're not happy, because if he was maybe if he was a bad commissioner and the cap and the cap was in his eye or whatever, there'll be more issues around the league. Maybe Quebec will have a team today.
Right.
But it didn't happen that way. And one of the reasons why, it's because the league is healthy.